more stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint, where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, pet sitting in an old Victorian home turns terrifying for a listener as locked doors begin to open. An elderly lady haunts a little girl, but is she just trying to be a comforting spirit? A little girl gives her stuffed toy an unusual name that coincidentally has meaning to her family. And a restless spirit hunts for his daughter nightly outside of a listener's window. Those stories and more on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine rainy? It looks like a fall day today when we're doing the show, but it doesn't feel like it.
It's about 80.
It's, I know. I go out there and I keep hoping for like a nice, cool, crisp fall breeze.
No,
not at all. Not at all.
That's okay.
It'll happen soon enough and I'll be like, why am I complaining?
Yeah.
It's kind of a spooky atmosphere in here today for that. I kind of like that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, be sure to press subscribe. Whatever platform it is you're listening to us on, that's what helps us grow in the rankings and lets other folks know that we exist, especially in the month of October here, where a lot of people are looking for ghost stuff, believe it or not. Tends to be a popular month
for
the topic of death and ghosts. There needs to be like another month out of the year that's has a holiday dedicated to creepiness.
It's every day for us.
Well, I know it's for us, but for everyone else.
Well, we provide a little bit of that every day, too, for our listeners.
But I think, you know, there's other holidays that people look forward to. You know, you got your Christmas, your Easter, your Thanksgiving, your insert holiday here that are like gatherings and kind of, you know, happy occasions. But Halloween is very much a holiday unto itself.
Uh-huh.
For what you do on it, how you celebrate it, it's unique.
Yeah.
We need to duplicate it. There needs to be another one in, like, I don't know, April.
Okay. Right, like, every 6 months.
Yeah, like it's kind of halfway through.
Okay.
I don't know what you call it. I don't know what you celebrate, but
I don't know.
We should have one. It would be great. It'd be wonderful. Someone can invent that and let us know what it is going to be called. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to our first story that's been written into us today. And it comes into us from Gracie. She says, a few months ago, I was dog sitting for my aunt at her old Victorian house that was built in the early 1900s. There have been a lot of changes made to the home over the years to make the home different for each owner, but I have always gotten a super uncomfortable feeling in her house. She has two kids and two dogs. Her husband works nights and an hour away, so he doesn't know the feelings that his family and I have inside the house. I was home alone on a Saturday night, and it was a normal night. I also had stayed the night before. I was charging my phone in the living room and watching movies, and the dogs were lying on their beds across the room. My aunt called me at 7 p.m. to check on how everything was going. We chatted for a while, then got off the phone and I went into the kitchen to get the dog food. There's a door to the attic that my aunt doesn't let anyone open. It has been bolted shut before my aunt bought the house, and they just never bothered to go into it because my aunt never felt super awesome around it. The dog food was next to it, and the door was near the washers and dryers, but it was well lit. When I went to get the dog food, the door was open. My uncle was the only one who has the key to it, even though it didn't work. It was a weird situation with the room, and he never wanted to talk about it. I think he was scared or saw something and doesn't want to admit it. So I ran into the living room and called my aunt on my cell phone and told her. She told me to go to sleep, and I was just seeing things. I went back an hour later to finish feeding the dogs, and it was shut and locked. It's one of those heavy wooden doors that are not easy to open. So I fed the dogs, but when I sat down, they started barking at the doorway that led to the kitchen. I've never heard a dog ever bark like these dogs are barking. It frightened me. Do I call my husband? My phone quit charging suddenly. It went from 90 down to 20% in seconds, which I know is not normal ever. So I went to my cousin's room and it wouldn't charge. Went into the kitchen. It wouldn't work either. I go to call him on their house phone and the phone said it was out of service. I was just telling myself my charger was broken, so I went out to my truck and plugged in the same cord into that and it worked perfectly. So I was a bit freaked out by now. I went to take the dogs out and it was probably 9 p.m. by this point and my phone was still charging in my truck and I went inside and I was standing at the door that leads into the back of the house, which is the same room that the locked door is in, and the dogs stood there backed up and stared or started almost scream barking at the door. They would not come in. I heard a noise, turned around and the door was open, and at that point I put the dogs out in my uncle's man cave, which was an insulated and heated barn. I jumped in my truck, called my husband, and left. I've experienced some messed up things. I love haunted things, and I go explore old houses, but this drew the line. I've not been back to my aunt's house since.
I wouldn't either. Just the thought of a locked door that only one person has a key to,
mm-hmm,
opening and closing itself. And you, like I always say, you can't fake it with animals. They know. They know when something dead is bad, and they know when something live is bad.
Or something that was alive and is now dead, mm-hmm, and alive again is bad.
Yes. Same thing. I thought I covered it, but yes.
Well, dead. When it's dead, it's dead. But I'm saying when it comes back to life.
Okay.
Like zombifies. Reanimates, if you will. How would you handle having a room in your house that was just like that, that was locked up when you got the house? You don't have the key for it.
Well, there's more than one way to open a door.
Well, sure. I mean, would you... I don't think I could stand not going into a room.
No.
Maybe, like, I think the first thing I would be doing is once everything's said and done, if I was not able to see it with the realtor, which I think I'd want to first.
Uh-huh.
But say you don't. Say you don't even realize it's there. Say it's like, you know, underneath a stairwell or something and way off in a corner and you're like, oh, I didn't realize there was a padlocked door here. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think I would demand to see it before I bought the house.
Sure.
Unless it was like a door hidden behind another door, which happened to us. We bought a house without it knowing that there was an extra bathroom hidden in it. Remember the last house? Livy's room had a bathroom. We didn't know it when we bought it because when the bedroom door was open, it completely obscured the door to the bathroom. And it had the bathroom had like no door on it.
We knew it was there.
No, we didn't.
Oh, her original room.
Her original room.
I know what you're saying. Okay, I was thinking of because we had moved. They'd moved rooms at one point.
Well, sure, yeah, but sure. I mean, originally you're her right. room. We did not you're know right. there was a bathroom there. I don't even think it was on the MLS because it was like a hidden door behind a door.
Yeah, well, the way that the door opened up, and you know, normally when you have just the door open, it just you assume that it's, you know, going up against a wall or something.
Yeah.
The way that it was placed, and until you realize that, oh, hey, look, this there's a door here. It was a full bathroom.
It wasn't until she came upstairs. I got my own bathroom, and it's pink.
That's
like,
true.
What the hell are you talking about?
Did she make her own bathroom?
Yeah,
did
she? She was at the age where she could have used the bathroom in various things and called it a bathroom.
It's like, that's not a bathroom, honey. That's a pot.
No. So
that's true.
I need to know where all doors lead before I buy a house.
Yeah, I think I do too. And if for some reason I found like a mystery one mm-hmm. that I was unaware of, that would be one of the first things I did. I'd be cutting that lock and taking a peek in there.
Well, I'd be the creeper if I rented some place and the landlord was like, no, you can't open this door. That's my stuff. I'd be mm-hmm. like, oh, I got to know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like it's a closet, I get it.
No.
But I'm okay with that. But if I know like it leads to a whole other room, uh-huh. then I want to see it. If I know it's like literally just like a linen closet with some other crap in it.
Sure.
But
my mind is going to have that be some sort of torture chamber or
bodies.
Something. Yeah, because that's how my mind goes. It's not just random stuff in a pile. It's
sure.
It's a dungeon.
Is it a disappointment when you do that and then you're like, oh shit, it's just a bunch of winter jackets.
No,
and it's not
it's
like a pile of dead cats or something.
It's a relief.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like be a lot like, damn, I was wrong. You know.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Rob writes in, hey guys, I was spending time talking to a friend of mine about a few ghost stories while we were playing older video games. My friend mentioned that one of his cousins had an experience. Things are strange after her grandfather died. These things just happened as we grow older, and her family thinks she may have had a problem with drugs. Her grandmother is still around, so his cousin spent more time at their grandparents' home, so she wasn't alone all the time. One of the days, she went to take out the trash and noticed a stray cat ran into the house. So after she tossed out the trash, she went back in to look for the cat and scare it out of the house. I guess the cat was tame enough because she was able to find it and got it out of the house without getting scratched. She had complained about the cat for about a week because it would constantly sneak in the house, and some of our other family members assumed it was actually their pet when they visited. It wasn't until late night when she was washing dishes before she went to bed when she noticed the cat in the house again. They assumed she may have been tired. Someone questioned if there was a gas leak, but she saw the cat being pet by something invisible. She recalls the cat purring and motioning its body as its actual fur was being touched. She screamed and ran out of the house, neglecting the back stairs because she twisted her ankle and had a hard fall. She had her phone on her, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been, so she was able to call a friend to take her to the hospital. When she told everyone about the cat, they didn't believe her. She ended up going to the doctors just to make sure she wasn't losing her mind. Other than the twisted ankle and possibly bruises from the fall, they didn't find anything wrong with her, other than finding marijuana in her blood test. She never went back to the house again, and the strange part was nobody saw the cat again either. Her family still doubts her story, but I think anything that could scare you enough where you make a dash for the door to the point you neglect your own safety might be out of account of fear. Her other family members saw the cat and assumed it was their pet, so the cat obviously existed. They also claim that animals tend to sense things around them, and maybe the cat didn't feel it was a threat. We haven't heard anyone else talk about it, and it's been months, so maybe it wasn't anything bad. Thanks for reading, guys. Hope everyone enjoys those bunk bed bells. They sound fun. Still enjoying the show. Go Packers and F the Dallas Cowboys.
I think sometimes hallucinations, of course, can happen with drug use, but mm-hmm. also it can open up that veil and kind of make you more aware of things you weren't aware of before.
Sure.
And I could see that being a case of something was there and she was able to see it in this, you know, altered state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think the good news is that the cat was thoroughly enjoying this ghost, so it wasn't something bad.
Is the cat a ghost too, though? I mean, they never see the cat again.
Could be.
That's my question. I mean, the cat was seen by people who weren't on the drugs too.
Yeah.
So I wonder how, you know, if it's just a foreign cat to everybody, you know, you get used to your pets and how they act and react
sure.
to things. And if the cat's just kind of moving around weird, which cats do sometimes, you just assume that's how the cat acts. But if you're really paying attention to it, mm-hmm. you're like, wait a second, its fur is moving where it shouldn't be being pushed down, mm-hmm. you know, then that's a little something different.
See, I wasn't thinking the cat was a ghost. I was just thinking the ghost that was petting the cat.
Maybe the cat only comes out for ghosts.
Maybe the ghost is attached to the cat.
They can be pretty elusive.
Mm-hmm.
Was the cat in the house?
It ran into the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it had to. It has to have some way in or out that maybe they're just unaware of. They're tricky.
Yeah.
They can fit through small holes.
I know.
That's the weirdest thing to me. I remember when I was a kid, I would play in cardboard boxes, like the big ones, like refrigerator boxes. And usually at the end of them, there'd be a very, very tiny opening, enough that you could just kind of peek out, you know, and see if anything's coming and make forts out of it. And I would treat my cat like it was a dog. And come play, you know, and cats aren't necessarily up for playing with children in that sense. And I would take the cat and we'd go in the box together and the cat would just want to get out of there. It would hate it, but it would fit its body through this tiny, tiny hole. It's like 1/4 the size of the cat. I mean, it would get its head through and then it would just like wiggle. It's amazing how they can collapse their bodies to get through things. They can almost be like snakes.
Yeah.
It's anyway. If you have cats, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, and you see a cat do this, I'm sure there's a YouTube video out there somewhere. It's amazing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter that comes into us. Gemma says, "Hey, Brewskis, I'm a listener from the state of Victoria in Australia. However, this series of events occurred in and around 2009 and 2010 when I lived in the city of Bath in the UK. Bath is a very haunted city with an interesting history dating back to Roman times. One day, my aunt and cousin told me about the spiritualist church group they were involved with and encouraged me to go along with them. My aunt remembered going to spiritualist meetings with my great-grandmother back in the 1950s, and since we had a family history with the faith, I began to go to gatherings on Sunday evenings and later meditations on Wednesdays. I connected with the belief system of learning from spirits of past loved ones and spirit guides very quickly. It made perfect sense to me, and I began to incorporate spiritualism into my everyday life, meditating at home and attempting to hone any physical abilities I may have. During my years with the group, several weird things occurred.
I think it's psychic.
You're right. I'll learn how to read one of these days. In the early days, we used to meet within the old Gregorian home of Mrs. March, the founder of the group, a woman, I was told, who was a great psychic and clairvoyant back in the day. If she told you something was going to happen, there was no doubt it would come true. Now, in her 90s, Mrs. March no longer used her abilities and needed a great deal of help to get around her huge, creepy home. She mostly just came to the service for the company, I think. This one night, she was sitting with her hymn book and a cup of tea on the coffee table next to her. I was sitting behind her, and we were all facing Jan, the excellent leader of the group, who has sadly since passed away. As Jan talked, we listened, and I watched Mrs. March pick up her cup of tea, take a sip, and set the teacup down in the saucer. As she pulled her hand away from the cup, a long wisp of smoky vapor emanated from the tip of her finger. It elegantly curled through the air and disappeared. I blinked and frowned. What the hell had I just seen? Nobody was smoking in the room. It wasn't allowed. And the vapor had clearly been attached to her hand, as if it was escaping like dry ice. Around a month later, Mrs. March passed away, and I was left to wonder if her passing had anything to do with a mysterious smoke. A couple of months later, a group of us were at a meditation circle. There was a sweet old lady who was part of the group and whose name I can't remember. Again, I think she attended for the company. Before we got started, we were setting up the table with candles and waiting for everyone to arrive. We were eager to get started and see if we could connect with any spirit guides. And suddenly, a painting behind the table fell off the wall. "It begins," said Jan with a laugh. We didn't think too much of it. The old lady put her hands on the table and waited for us to begin. Again, I saw the same smoky vapor coming out of the tips of her fingers. I was amazed and felt validated that I hadn't imagined it the first time. Here it was again, right before my eyes. Sadly, the woman passed away just a few days later. I concluded that the vapor was some sort of energy leaving the body as it prepared to cross over, perhaps even what we know to be ectoplasm. I love your show. Thanks for the excellent work you do. I'll write in later with some more stories.
I think she's kind of making an assumption that this has to do with the ones dying, and I think it more so has to do with her ability.
Okay.
To tell who's about to die, and that's how she can tell.
How?
By seeing that vapor come from these women's fingers.
Oh.
That you know, these women aren't seeing it happen to them, mm-hmm. but she's seeing.
I see what you're saying.
The life leaving.
She's got to look out for the vapor fingers then.
Yeah.
Vapor fingers, you're the one. You make predicting death, though, so fun. Vapor fingers. You know what that's to?
No, it's not coming to me.
Rubber ducky.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yes, it is.
I don't think I've ever made a weird song out of something from Sesame Street until today.
It's a first for everything.
It's a Halloween miracle. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lauren writes in, I was about 9 years old at the time. It all started to happen. It was about 9 o'clock when I was heading to bed. I had school in the morning. I tried sleeping, but I had a feeling I was being followed, watched, stalked, etc. I asked my mom if I could sleep with her, and I had been scared. I told her what had happened, and she just said it was my imagination, but I begged to sleep with her either way. I know what I thought, and it was real. She ended up letting me sleep with her, and I fell asleep a few minutes after she kissed me goodnight. I soon awoke. I must have thought it was around 12 a.m., but I was wrong. It was only 10:30 p.m. When I woke up, I was in my bedroom. I thought my mom must have put me here when I was asleep. I really had to use the bathroom when I woke up, so I got out of bed. I have a house that has an upstairs, which is where my brothers and sisters' bedrooms are, including a bathroom. I was walking upstairs and came to the bathroom. It did not have a door due to it breaking, and we didn't have the money to get it fixed to get a new door. I stared at the toilet, and I just froze. I couldn't feel any part of my body. I stared at the toilet, and there was an old woman. She was very, very old-looking. She looked as if she was scared or afraid of something. I was afraid of her, I think. I couldn't breathe, and it felt like I was about to just die. I just quickly ran down the stairs, almost about to bawl my eyes out. I ran as fast as I could to my room. I hid under my covers, covering my ears, frightened of what I saw. Then later in the morning, I told my mom what had happened, and apparently an old woman did live in our home, that she died on the front porch or inside her house in the living room, something like that, she said. But I was kind of afraid. I had asked my mom if the lady was bad, and she said she doesn't know for sure, but I know she didn't hurt me, and I kept thinking, was she truly evil? Was she bad? Was she trying to help? Was she trying to warn me? It did not make much sense to me. But back then, I was very young, and I did not understand it at all that much. Later, I turned 10, and my parents fought a lot. They'd yell almost every day at each other. It would sometimes bother me so much that I'd leave the room and go to my room and hide. It wasn't fun. Hearing them yell every day, saying, I hate you and go with someone else or you love him, they fought so much it hurt. About a few weeks later, my parents divorced. We left that house and I had slept in my grandma's house with my mother for a while, just until we got another house for my mom. A few days later, I got to go to my mom's house and dad's house. I felt better at these houses. I felt safer, and I don't know why, but I just felt like I was safer than when I was at the old house. I used to have dreams about the old woman, but ever since we moved and the divorce happened, I hadn't had those dreams. Sometimes I stayed awake thinking about my old house, thinking about the old woman. I can't make her out, but I can kind of describe what she looked like. She had many wrinkles. She looked awful. She had blue eyes. She had medium-length hair. She was wearing a white gown or a white t-shirt with jeans. I can't really remember as this was years ago, but it was definitely real. Some people say seeing is believing, or what you see is what you believe. I saw her, and indeed, I believed she was real. It just frightens me too much to believe it happened. Thank you for reading this. If you haven't yet, please do. Thank you, Lauren.
I think sometimes we look for meaning in these encounters with spirits when there really is none.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the same thing as if you pass somebody on the sidewalk going the opposite way and trying to figure out your purpose of meeting them, and it was just your passing.
That's a good reference.
And I think sometimes, you know, these people are still living in their home and they're not really trying to do anything other than be there and go about their what they find normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that she was trying to comfort the girl or scare the girl. It was just scary because it was somebody that wasn't supposed to be there.
I completely agree.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. But if it's coming from, you know, an 8-year-old girl or so at the time when it happened. So, of course, everything must mean something, you know, mm-hmm. to you. Everything must have some sort of impact when you're at that age. But I think that's just the reality of it. It has absolutely nothing to do with her.
Right.
It's just, it was there. You saw it. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like your reference of the walking down the street. And just because you passed somebody doesn't mean it was meant to that you were supposed to pass them or that they had a message for you or that they're evil or bad or good or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Bella says, I have two short stories to tell you, but first, I'd like to apologize for how this first story is detailed. It happened years ago when I was a young child. When I was 5 or 6, my mother got me a stuffed animal while she was at a dog show. At the time, we were living in a house in Santa Claus, Indiana, far away from any of our family. She brought it home and suggested I name it. I thought for a while and came up with Eunice, pronounced Eunice.
They spell it out for you.
I know. That's good because I usually screw them up. I had no idea where I got the name from. Never knew anyone with that name. I just wanted it to be Eunice. So I told my mother and she was shocked. When I asked her what was wrong, she asked me where I got the name. And I told her, I don't know, and asked why she was shocked. She said her grandmother was named Eunice and she had died before I was born. Then she told me to go to bed. So I did. And later I woke up around midnight to a woman breathing at the end of my bed. At first, I thought it was my mom, so I turned and looked toward her bed. I saw my mom in her bed, so I was confused and looked back at the woman, but she was gone. I never told my parents about the event because I had no idea how to explain it. A few years later, I was looking at my mom's old photos, and one picture caught my eye. It was a picture of my mom and her mother, but there was one woman I didn't recognize, and then noticed she looked exactly like the woman I had seen years before. I asked my mom who it was, and she said it was her grandmother, Eunice. My second story was a couple of years after that. We had moved to South Korea for my parents' job, and one of our dogs, Merlin, just died. He was with me since I was born till I was 11 years old, but he would only pay attention to me when my mom wasn't at home because he liked her best. So a few days after he died, I was home alone and thought I saw Merlin outside my bedroom door, completely forgetting he had passed away. I thought he just wanted to go outside to go to the bathroom. So I got up and walked to the door and called for him to come downstairs. I heard dog footsteps coming down the stairs and the pitter-patter of him running to the door. I opened it, not looking down, and waited for a few minutes to open the door again to let him in. Then I heard his barking, and I knew it was him because he has a specific sound when he barked, so I opened the door but didn't see anything. I put shoes on and walked into the yard and didn't see anything, so I ran inside to call my mom to tell her Merlin got out. When she answered, I told her he got out, but then she reminded me that he was dead. I told her I forgot and wasn't thinking and apologized for making her think of him. As soon as I hung up, I started looking around, and he was completely confused. So I just decided that I was tired and needed sleep, but for the next few months I would just continue hearing his bark till I asked him to give a sign if he was there. Nothing happened, so I decided that I was just hearing things. Then I walked by the living room when I heard a dog squeak. I looked to the couch and saw Merlin's favorite toy on the couch, which was odd because I remembered putting it in the basement soon after his death. So then I concluded that it was the sign that he was there. I needed no more proof. I can sometimes still hear his bark, but only when I'm alone. Thank you for reading this and for giving people a place to write about their own experiences. Bella.
Well, we've been having quite a few listeners write in wanting to hear about pets and asking about pets. So there's a good pet story.
It is.
Yeah.
The pets coming back and even playing with toys. It's not just like, I think I heard the dog or...
Right.
It's pretty obvious that that's what you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show and help keep us on the air, that's where you become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You get bonus episodes of our program every single week and other exclusive content as well up there at ghostpodcast.com. Aaron writes in, really enjoy the show. I have been pretty sensitive to energy since I was a little girl. I moved in with my dad when I was 9 and began to spend more time around my dad's family, the Irish Catholic side. When I moved in, I got to have my own room because I was the oldest and a girl. I had younger half-brothers and it was summertime and they made us all take naps in the afternoon. And believe me, I felt far too old to do this and did it with much resistance. So after a few weeks living with them, I was supposed to be napping. It was hot in Sparks, Nevada that summer, and I just had a sheet over me. I always have to be covered. It's the thing. At some point, all the hair stood up on my body, and I felt someone sit on me on the couch bed I was trying to sleep on. It was not heavy like a person, but it was just an impression of someone sitting on me. The covers felt like all the air got sucked out of them and were sticking to me. I was terrified and kept my face hidden under the covers until it passed. The feeling stayed for probably only under a minute, but I rolled over and curled up and was afraid to uncover my face. When I told my mom and dad, they joked and said it was probably great-grandma and grandpa, because whenever their photos tip over in the living room, that is who they think it is. To this day, still not sure, but it started a series of strange things happening in the house. The hallway mirror was particularly scary, as I kept thinking I saw people in front of it changing forms. So I had to sleep with my door closed. I also know that at that time I was lonely and really freaked out. What with the transition from my biological mom's house to being at my dad's to the family, and some of it could have been my coping mechanisms or spirit just showing me I was not alone. I'm not sure. Anyway, that was the first conscious experience I had and made me want to know more and more about the occult and the spirit world. I have I was a vicarious reader and read anything I could get a hold of, thankfully. My paternal grandmother had a collection of books on just these things. Side note, my grandfather didn't want her to do anything with these books, but still let her keep them. So I would visit and read them cover to cover. Thanks for your time and keep up the good work. Your assessments of what might be happening with stories that you've read on the air are very spot on. As an intuitive, I tend to try to sense the energy of things when I hear the stories. It's hard not to check in with it to see what's up. Glad I found your place to do it. It has inspired me to start telling more of my stories.
I think it was just something that knew she was going through a hard time transitioning.
Yeah.
And just wanted to kind of say, you're not going this alone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do that with a kid because they're going to be afraid.
Sure. So like a rent-a-ghost.
Not a rent-a-ghost.
Wait, is it one that's always there and helping? Or is it just kind of like, you need a helping hand at this moment in time, and then it'll push and you're good?
I don't know.
Rent-a-ghost.
Okay. Could be.
Why not? Are they more expensive over time, though? I mean, like a rent-a-center where eventually you're going to pay like $7,000 for an Xbox or something.
I don't know.
You probably can't really pay for the rent a ghost. I'm just thinking in the world where you can rent a ghost, get demon away and things like that. What's the monetary value of a rent a ghost?
I don't know. I don't like to put a value on anybody, living or dead.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lauren writes in, I've had a handful of strange events in my life, most notably is the story I will explain to you here. Others include dreams of deceased loved ones, mostly as goodbyes, and being told off hand by a medium. You have angels all around you, and you know you're a medium too, right? Just for the record, if I have medium abilities, they certainly aren't utilized. As a very young child, I also had an imaginary friend who seemed very real to me, in very vivid nightmares and visions in the dark. These instances, while leaving me feeling a bit strange, aren't exactly noteworthy. Onto my short story, as a kid I had one startling experience that has always kind of unhinged me. I'd like to express that when this event happened, I wasn't afraid of it at all. I simply went back to sleep thinking I'd ask my mother about it in the morning. In the future years where I thought about how little it made sense that it made to me, I'm a bit more fearful of the encounter. I was around 8 to 10 years old at the time. Very normal night. It was late. I was sleeping in bed. Growing up, I had a cozy-sized room, a bunk bed, which faced my closet, which would absolutely drive me crazy. No, can't do that. And a desk in between the foot of the bed and the closet. And a small amount of the wall was wall space there. The desk obviously had a chair with it, but we also had a small lamp there for a nightlight. For no explicable reason, I shot up awake in bed this night and looked down towards the desk, and there was my great-grandmother sitting in the chair, looking at me. In a very cliché manner, I shook my head and rubbed my eyes, and she had disappeared when I opened them. At this point in time, this lovely lady was still very much alive. She was quite aged, I'd say anywhere from 89 to 91, somewhere in there, but very much alive. In fact, she lived on for at least a decade after this instance. She passed at 101. When I woke in the morning, I was concerned that she had passed and asked my mother if something perhaps happened to her. She stated that as far as she knew, my great-grandmother was fine and well as she could be. I was thinking hard on it again after hearing the story of the woman who projected herself to her childhood home and stopped by later, and the kids living in the house currently thought she was a ghost they had seen in the woods. It made me feel significantly less crazy. Thanks for your time, guys. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, if you have any information on how to expand my medium abilities or could point me in the direction of a mentor, I'd appreciate it. It's something I've wanted to do but have always been fearful. Again, thank you.
I think the grandmother, the great-grandmother was astral projecting, maybe.
You think? You know?
Just wanted to see the kid. Maybe she was dreaming mm-hmm. that she was there doing that. And that's what he saw or she saw.
And that she's just happens to be there. I wonder if that happened, you know, in dreams and stuff. Mm-hmm. When you're thinking about your family and it's just, there you go. Maybe. I could see that being the case. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that, you know, that question was never, you know, being able to ask, Grandma, did you dream that you were watching me sleep last night? Oh, by the way, yes, I was. You know, because, I mean, Grandma probably had no idea
yeah.
that she was showing up over there. Maybe she did, though. Maybe she was into something, and you know, it was towards the last couple of years, and it's like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to start playing with Ouija boards, and I'm going to do all sorts of things. What do you got to lose?
Doubt it. I bet she was just dreaming.
Are you going to go nuts with the stuff that you've always said, like, you shouldn't do and shouldn't play with when you're really old?
Just because my days are numbered?
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this now. Why not?
No.
Okay.
No.
You could really summon a whole lot of people at the end. You know, people say they see the people at uh-huh. the end. You know, you could really open those gates up wide. You could have like a giant party.
Well, think about this. You summon something you don't want.
That's true.
It's still going to be there when you die.
And you make it to the other side. Yeah, that's not.
It's not one of those things you can leave behind.
That's true. Didn't think of it that way.
Sorry, I got to be the grown up.
Party idea.
Yeah.
Party with ghosts. 855-853-4802, our number. Hope writes in. Years ago, my mother lived in an apartment in the middle of town. She had been there a couple of years. She'd call me almost nightly with encounters with something paranormal. The front door would fling open and no one would be there. She'd hear footsteps on the stairs leading to the second floor and no one would be there. She'd experience items missing and moved around her home. My niece and nephews were just little kids at the time. They all spent a considerable amount of time with my mother. They would all, too, recount the activity. I thought that because my mother was scared to be there, her fear transferred to the kids. They were young. They were impressionable, right? So I would do my best to debunk the activity. Oh, Ma, didn't shut the door all the way. Oh, the footsteps, that's from the apartment next door. Believable explanations. Around 2003, I found myself in a situation where I had to move in with her, with my son. I never really experienced much there. Whatever I did experience, I dismissed or debunked. One night, we were lying in bed, talking back and forth. She was in her bed. I was in mine. Our rooms were close enough for us to lay down and talk and joke around. She was not able to see me, nor was I able to see her. We said, okay, this is it. We need to sleep. It was ridiculously late at night. We were goofy and sleepy. I sleep on my stomach, so I flipped around and settled in. I was still awake when I felt my mother climb into my bed over the top of me. She started at my feet. I felt her weight sink in the bed along my sides. I'm thinking this silly woman is trying to prank me, which she would have every night, too, because I was always pranking her. Let's be clear. Let's keep her going. The weight was now on top of me. She was around my waist. A light bulb went on inside my head. Next move she makes, I'm going to flip around quick and get her in a headlock. Sure enough, the movements came, and here's my opportunity. I flipped around like lightning, went to lock her up, and no one was there. I screamed, "Holy shit!" My mother's very concerned voice coming from her room. I hope to God I was wrong. I told her what had happened, and she accused me of trying to scare her. Fast forward a few more years to 2007. I decided to become a paranormal investigator. I was living in my own place by now. My mother had long left this apartment. I became the case manager for a group I'm affiliated with. I was doing research on local history to see if there was anything worth investigating. What I found blew my mind. It was called the Grace murder case. You can Google it for verification. There was a murder that occurred in a building that was attached to where my mother lived. One brother killed another brother. The murdering brother was a bad womanizer on top of everything else. He stole some money and jewelry from his brother and left him for dead under a bed in the building. The case was linked to the Lizzie Borden trials. I absolutely feel in my heart that what we experienced in her apartment, which after time I stopped debunking and accepted it for what it was related to this murder. Murder.
Murder. Could be, you know. It could be just that not necessarily it's the ghost of either person, but mm-hmm. it could be just the bad energy that was there.
Still resonating.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of history, lots of people coming and going. So there's a lot of possibilities of what could be there or why it's there. And it could just be kind of a buffet of stuff.
A buffet of stuff.
A buffet of stay.
A buffet of stay.
A buffet of ghosts hanging out. A buffet of energy, really.
Uh-huh.
Some good, some bad. Some you kind of don't know what to make out of it. It looks
will make you sick.
Looks appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
You taste it. You kind of like it. Kind of feel guilty for liking it. And then you realize you're just drinking a cup of grease and you thought it was some sort of soup, but unfortunately it's not. Then your arteries harden and you die and you become a ghost. All because of the buffet.
Just curious how long this will go on if I just sit here and stare at you.
Oh, I could go for a long time.
I figured you
could. I could keep going. It was kind of like we went to a chili cook-off this last weekend. It was fun.
It was fun.
And there was a lot of good, I would say 25 of the 30 chilies. Very good.
Very good.
Very good. There was about two, though, where I swear all I did was get a cup of grease. Because you have to, you got to like, you know, get
you gotta
skim.
Strain it.
Skim and strain your chili.
Before you put the meat in.
Yeah. You don't cook it all together.
And I think the thought there is it'll add flavor, but it'll mm-hmm. also add grease.
It adds flavor, but when you're constantly just kind of skimming the top to give little cups to people, you're only getting grease.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah.
So, anyhow. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Stacy writes in, hi, Jenny and Tony. I recently discovered your podcast thanks to Snap Judgment, and it only took me about 3 days to decide to become an EPP. So glad I did. I'm loving these extra episodes. I wanted to share my personal haunted experience with you. When I was a little back in the 1970s, from about ages 2 to 8, my parents, little brother, and I often took trips up to the log cabin my grandparents built back in the 1930s. It was in northern Michigan, a beautiful spot right on a lake. So many wonderful times were spent there, fishing, wandering the rocky waters, feeding the ducks, and having 4th of July barbecues next to the beach. My grandmother spent her summers there, and we visited that time of year and stayed with her. My grandfather passed away in 1967 before I was born. I always slept in the front bedroom next to the driveway. My parents slept in the back room with my brother, and my grandmother had the middle room. I can remember lying in bed, looking up at the knotted logs on the ceiling, just amazed at how a house could actually be built from real logs. There was a window directly behind the head of the bed in my room. One night, when I was about 5 years old in around 1978, I woke in the middle of the night and heard a deep male voice right outside the window distinctly say, and sternly, "I want my daughter back." In a panic, I ran to my parents' room at the back of the cabin and told them what I'd heard. They both grumbled and told me the sound was just Grandma snoring and to go back to bed. Reassured, because parents are always right? I went back to bed and truly forgot about the incident. We continued to make trips up to the cabin the next couple of years and nothing strange happened. Just fantastic summer days and wonderful memories. After my grandmother passed away in 1981, we returned to the cabin to pack up her things. I slept in the same bedroom I always had. I was awakened in the middle of the night by a man's voice right outside my window demanding, "I want my daughter back." Immediately, I recalled it happening years before and lay frozen in bed, paralyzed with fright. This time, I didn't dare even get out of bed, but pulled the covers up and prayed for silence. I didn't hear it again, but I knew it wasn't my grandmother's snoring that time. She wasn't there. I know that when my grandparents built their cabin, they had hired various local men to help. It was during the Great Depression that I could imagine many of the people in the area experienced loss and difficulty. I wonder to this day if maybe the voice I heard was that of some poor soul who had lost his child or his family during one of those hard times. I've not experienced any other ghost-like things in the years since. But there have been some very strange, unexplained things that have occurred in my life, including dreams that have come true. I even dreamed of my husband about a week before we met. My sister and brother have numerous encounters with spirits and sleep paralysis, and I'm urging them to write into you guys. Thank you for your amazing podcast. I'm officially hooked.
I think that poor soul's probably going to wonder until he's able to find his daughter.
Or was a message really meant for this person's dad? And it was the grandpa, and he didn't want the daughter to have grown up and gotten married, and I want my daughter back.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
That's an odd one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it could possibly go back to the older times he was talking about.
Sure.
It's kind of an impossible one to know. Be interesting to hear if they stayed, the cabin stayed in the family.
Yeah.
And if anyone else has heard this since.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rule out things like Billy Bass on the wall.
Billy Bass never said, I want my daughter back.
It would be great if you could hack Billy Bass.
That would be fun.
Just have it say whatever you... That can make Billy Bass have a giant comeback. If you could just put your own memory card in there and Billy Bass now says what you want.
Uh-huh.
That was huge. Did you ever have a Billy Bass?
No, did not have a Billy Bass.
We had a Billy Bass.
Yeah.
It was, I think, a joke gift my dad got for something, but it would go off all the time.
Uh-huh.
Hear it randomly making noise in the basement. I think the cat would trigger it.
Yeah.
Quite often. So anyway, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps our show on the air. And get the brand new episode every single week, extra bonus episodes, exclusive content, and so much more. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.